All right, Antonio Freeman.
Yes, sir.
Am I pronouncing it right? Venice?
Venice.
Yes. Sorry, okay. If you would approach the podium. Do you want to reserve any rebuttal?
3 minutes.
All right, you may proceed.
Your Honors, I'm Jean Vaness from the Suffolk Public Defender's Office, and I am representing the appellant Antonio Freeman. In this particular case, there's one assignment of error with two sub-issues: whether the evidence was sufficient to find Mr. Freeman guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of a larceny, and whether the value of the property was over $200 and sufficient to find him guilty of a grand larceny. The crux of the matter is that on the issue of value, which I believe is the stronger part of the argument, is that there was never any definitive count of the items taken from Walmart. They were alleged to be DVDs valued at approximately $19 a piece. The witness for the Commonwealth testified that at first that there were 20 DVDs missing. Then he said that there were 14 DVDs missing.
Didn't he say that he knew without a shadow of doubt that there were at least 14 DVDs in the cart?
He did say that, except that he never counted them.
How do you know he didn't count them?
He said he didn't.
I mean,
he said he never counted the DVDs, either at the time that he saw the cart initially, and then when he went back to the cart, he never conducted a count other than to conduct an inventory count of the, not an inventory count, but a count on hand of the DVDs that were remaining in the store. He never testified where the count was taken from, whether it was taken from items in inventory or whether it was items from the cart, never established
everything
the amount.
He did, he was absolutely positive that there were at least 14 DVDs in there.
And he was absolutely positive that there are 20. He was absolutely positive that there were 14, but he said that he never counted any of them.
Didn't that go to the weight of the evidence? Which the fact finder has to resolve?
The fact finder does have to resolve, but he has to resolve it beyond a mere conjecture. And in this case, the standard for this court is whether or not any reasonable fact finder can find that there were DVDs taken and whether or not the value was over $200, and I submit that.
But nobody objected to that testimony when he said that whatever the number was taken.
No, because that was something that he would have testified to on cross-examination. We challenged the assertion that he was certain that there were 14 DVDs missing, and he admitted on cross-examination, I think he even admitted on direct examination, that he never counted the DVDs.
What do you mean when you say he didn't count? What is it? How do you count him? You mean go 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, when he approached the car, I'm sorry,
and saw without going 1, 2, 3, 4 that there were 5 people sitting there, now 6. I haven't counted them, but if you look behind you, you'll see 6 people in the behind the bar. Now, would that be another form of counting?
I think.
Or do you have to do it 1, 2, 3 like you must have defined it?
I think you have to know that the number that you're alleging that somebody took as a crime,
to
find him guilty of a crime. The witness who testifies for the Commonwealth needs to be more.
Didn't he say he knew there were 14?
Except that he said also that there were 20, and then he said there were 14, and then he said he never counted them. So the testimony of the number of DVDs that he knew were there were based on conjecture. They weren't based on any factual elements that he could testify to.
I assume you dealt with that issue on cross-examination.
Yes.
And the trial court was satisfied there were 14.
The trial court was satisfied that there were a sufficient number of DVDs to find Mr. Freeman guilty of grand larceny.
Okay, thank you. Let me ask you this. Were all, however many, 14 or 20 or 16, whatever, were they all the same video, all the same
DVD? He testified that they were a video called The Hunger Games. And he didn't testify that there were any others than that.
But, I mean, I don't know what Hunger Games is.
I don't either.
But is it 14 of the same DVD?
14 DVDs. He said he believed that they were all the Hunger Games in the car.
So your answer is yes, they were all the same movie.
My answer is that he testified that he believed that they were all the same. Now, it's critical because without absolutely knowing that there were 14 missing, he didn't see how many that Mr. Freeman put in the bag. He didn't see Mr. Freeman. He lost sight of Mr. Freeman while he went from one part of the store to the other and only saw Mr. Freeman outside in the parking lot after he had followed him to an area towards the exit of the store. He never passed all point of, he never saw him past the point of sales, wasn't able to testify whether he went through the cash registers or not, and only went through another exit of the store on the other end of the store and came out and saw him get in a car with a bag in his hand. He couldn't testify what was in the bag in his hand. And based upon that evidence, the court found that, made inferences with regard to what was originally in the bag and what was in a bag that he had in his hand when he went out of the store. But there was no testimony that he actually passed points of sales without paying for them. And even the court was equivocal about the time frame during which there was a lack of sight, or where the witness for the Commonwealth lost sight of Mr. Freeman.
My notes indicate that Kelly testified the defendant did not pass a point of sale.
Correct.
Am I wrong on that?
He lost sight of him 30 feet from the exit of the store in front, in other words, behind the point of sale.
For 20 seconds.
Well, he said it was 20 seconds. Even the court found that to be equivocal. He said the court didn't necessarily believe that it could have been 20 seconds. The court did find that he couldn't have gone through the point of sales in the time frame where Mr. Kelly went to the other exit of the store, came out, and saw him go through the parking lot. But I think that is conjecture. There's no way to determine whether or not Mr. Freeman actually could have gone, if there was nobody in the store, or if he had went through the self-checkout or whatever they have, went through quickly and paid for something and went out of the store. He could have put the bag down in the store and paid for something,
He could have done a lot of things, but the trial court, after hearing the evidence, concluded that he stole the items. And my question is this: why can't the trial court consider the fact that one who takes a large number of the same movie, puts them surreptitiously in a shopping cart, covers them up with something so they're hidden, then comes and puts them in a bag and walks towards the front of the store? Why can't he infer from that evidence that he intended to steal them?
I have to correct the court in one.
If I could add to that, and he also brought a Walmart bag into the store.
Right.
And he was also banned from the store.
What fact did I get wrong on that? I may have.
Yeah, you indicated that Mr. Freeman covered up DVDs in the shopping cart. There was no testimony that Mr. Freeman ever did anything to the cart before Mr. Kelly saw him approach the cart. It was only Mr. Kelly approached the cart and there were DVDs and clothes in the cart already.
They were covered up, though.
Correct.
Somebody had covered him up.
Somebody did, but there was no testimony that he did. I have to argue with a large amount of DVDs. We know that there were a number of DVDs in the cart. We don't know that Mr. Freeman actually took them. He put some DVDs in the cart, but Mr. Kelly testified on different occasions, different numbers, but he went back to the cart after this incident was all over and looked at the cart, couldn't testify, and he said himself he couldn't testify that in the duration somebody else didn't come and either put those items back on a shelf or otherwise dispose of them.
Was there testimony that he conducted some type of inventory count?
They did
and found that 14 were missing, at least 14 were missing from inventory?
They didn't do an inventory count. They did a count on hand. And there's no testimony about what that means, whether they counted the ones still on the shelf. Did they then miss things that were in the cart? Did they take the count from the cart?
I went to the electronics department and an on-hand count was conducted, the amount of on-hand versus the amount that were missing. I mean, that sounds like an inventory to me.
But they didn't say where they counted. They could have counted on the shelf. They could have counted on the cart. And again, there's no showing that somebody else didn't remove items from that cart in the period of time that Mr. Kelly was watching the cart and going out of the store looking for Mr. Freeman. I think the thing is the count, they don't know what was in the bag initially. They don't know what was in the bag when Mr. Kelly got outside the door, and that's where the failure of evidence arises. If there's no other questions.
Would have any questions?
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Okay, you have 4 minutes left for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Susan Baumgartner for the Office of the Attorney General. All of the defendant's arguments in this case are that the evidence was insufficient. All of these issues were before the fact finder, and he resolved them with ample evidence to do so in favor of guilt. Regarding the value that there was never any definitive count, I would dispute that there was no definitive count because there was the inventory, the on-hand count that was done. And Kelly testified on cross-examination that there were 14 missing from inventory. And I quote from the appendix at 71, I know there were at least 14 in that shopping cart. He was, at this stage, giving the defendant the benefit of the doubt. He testified multiple times. There were 20 in the cart before Freeman started hiding them in the bag. There were at least two layers with probably 10 to 12 DVDs within the layers. And his statement that there were at least 14 in the cart is, if anything, giving Mr. Freeman the benefit of the doubt. And once again, there only needed to be 11 to meet the value. Even if the court had found Kelly's testimony to be contradictory, it was entitled to resolve those contradictions, and it clearly did so for guilt. Regarding whether or not the defendant committed a wrongful fraudulent taking, the evidence is sufficient that he left the store with unpaid-for merchandise. He hid it in a Walmart bag. He walked to the general merchandise exit, which I believe the testimony on the appendix pages 45 to 47 shows that it was separate from the registers. There was video in this case. They went over the video. Over here is the registers. Over here is the general merchandise exit. And when Kelly went to leave through the other exit, the defendant was heading towards the general merchandise exit, and I believe that testimony supports that he had passed the point of sale.
Does an individual have to get past the cash register or out the front door of a store before the crime of larceny is committed?
I don't believe he does. The trespassory taking here is that he acted wholly with his own dominion over the property, inconsistent with that of Walmart.
Before you get through the checkout line, doesn't it have to be concealed for you to be guilty?
Correct, and it was concealed. It was in the Walmart bag that he brought in, and I think there's really no reasonable interpretation to bring an empty Walmart bag hidden in your person into Walmart and fill it up with merchandise in the store other than that you intend to walk out pretending you've paid for items you haven't paid. He had moved the DVDs from the department in which they were sold. They were in the men's clothing department. They'd been secreted in the cart. Then he hid them in the Walmart bag. And once again, he wasn't supposed to be in the store anyway. Therefore, He exercised dominion and control inconsistent with that of a prospective purchaser, and really the larceny was committed at that point, even before he left the store. However, he did leave the store, and he was seen across the parking lot holding the same bag full of DVDs. The evidence was sufficient for the conviction. If there are no further questions,
thank you.
I urge you to affirm.
Ms. Vanez, you have a little under 4 minutes.
Firstly, the Attorney General indicated that there was a video. There was no video of this particular event. And she also indicated that the inevitable conclusion was that he passed all point of sale, but there's no, without paying, there's no evidence of that.
If he did harbor, the court found that he had an intent to permanently deprive, an intent to steal, at the time he put the DVDs into the bag, would that constitute a larceny at that time, regardless of whether, or would he have been guilty of a larceny at that point?
See, that's an issue that has always been of some question, because when an individual comes in the store and shops, some people do put things in bags. They might be the disposable bags or the reshop kind of bags or the green bags or whatever you want to call them. So the intent can't be determined simply from an individual coming in the store and putting something in the store.
I preface it with the assumption, if the trial court determined from the evidence that he harbored that intent to steal, perhaps by coming in with the bag, perhaps by not him but someone taking the DVDs from where they were located and secreting them in the cart, if that intent to steal existed, why wouldn't he be guilty of larceny at the time he put them in the bag?
Well, in another case, that might be the case. But in this case, the court did never found that he had an intent to steal when he came into the store. He found that based upon the circumstances and the inferences made from the evidence, the facts that he heard, that there was a larceny, not because he had an intent to steal when he took the bag out of wherever he had it and put something in the bag. And I'm not saying, and I think in this case where there are gaps in the testimony or gaps in the story, in the progress of the story, between the time he approached the cart and the time that he left the store, there are gaps where nobody saw him, nobody definitively saw him go through the point of sale without paying, and then in finding him in the parking lot with a bag without knowing what was in that bag, I think the evidence failed at that point. If there are no other questions.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel, and take up Nunnally versus Commonwealth.